You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the gym class at 4 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock here on a rainy Monday in eastern Iowa. Thank you for joining us here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as KGYM Radio Stream, the KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker. Good show coming up for you. Dan Shonka of Arlad Scouting Service one more time. We will wrap up the NFL draft. Your questions, how did your team fare in Dan's mind and in his eye and with the other experts out there with Arlad Scouting Service? We can talk about that. We can talk about individuals. We'll talk about the weekend that was in the world of sports as well. Mark and I were both wrong about the Kentucky Derby winner. I know you're all shocked out there, as Buttons is shocked right now. And, that's those things happen out there, but we'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on the program here today. Also, I want to remind everyone and let everybody know that all this week, we have your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets for racing at Hawkeye Downs Speedway. The season gets started this Friday night, May the 7th. Gates open at 6 o'clock, qualifying at 7 o'clock, races at 7:30. Make your plans to be out there. And yeah, we've got tickets all this week for you. And that'll be coming up on the program here today. And also on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They also have a great giveaway this week as well. It is Mother's Day coming up next weekend. And Hertine and Stocker Jewelers has a perfect gift for your Mother's Day. All week long, listen in as Todd and Alex have your shot at a Hertine and Stocker $50 gift card to pick out the perfect gift sure to wow. More details available at kgymradio.com for both of those giveaways. 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Phone lines as well at 319-366-1600 as Mark joins us from a busy back porch area on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. We got construction going on at the Duke's household here today. So if you hear any hammering or jackhammering in the background, that's just a sound of progress, ladies and gentlemen. Sound of progress, right, Mark?
Exactly, Scott. Great to start the month of May with you and our listeners here in the gym class. And yeah, I woke up this morning with the garage and talking to you now without one.
But that's progress.
Dave and Brand Hart at it, and thanks to the derecho, I guess you have to look at it as progress, right?
It's progress. Yeah, there's no other way to explain it. It is progress out there. So, yeah. Well, best of luck with that. And, we'll come over and see the new garage sometime.
Sounds like a plan to me.
There you go. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on the Monday edition of the show. Dan Shonka of Arlad Scouting Service going to join us coming up in just a little bit at 8 past 3. A lot to get to from the weekend. I guess first things first, the NFL draft in the books after the three-day run in Cleveland. Next year, it moves to the fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada for the 2022 NFL draft. A few Hawkeyes taken, a few Cyclones taken, few Panthers taken as well, and many free agent signings out there. And best of luck to all of the draftees as well as the free agents. It is a tough road, but hopefully everybody's going to make it. And that includes Sean Beyer, the Cedar Rapids Kennedy product. And he signs a free agent contract with the Denver Broncos. Some interesting picks. A couple of Hawkeyes went back-to-back. Davion Nixon, surprisingly, I think, we'll ask Dan about this, falling very far as what once was his draft stock, if you will. And those things happen. sometimes it plays out for the best. So we'll see what happens with Davion Nixon. Amir Smith-Marset taken as well. Kenny Nwangu of Iowa State back up to Breece Hall ends up going in the fourth round to the Minnesota Vikings. Just a lot of very interesting things, as always, Mark, that have to do with the draft.
Yeah, I would agree. It's all about opportunity, and I think Dan Stronka would agree with that. Remember, guys like George Kittle and Desmond King were fifth-round draft picks, and look at them now. They've been all pros, taking advantage of opportunities, showing their wares, and who among these guys is going to have a similar career? We don't know, but we are asking you at KGYMRadio.com to weigh in. Poll question brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Thanks to Steve Anderson and his team, doing great work since 2003. Which player, Scott, is likely to have the most success in the NFL? And there are seven choices. Chauncey Golston, Amir Smith-Marset, Davion Nixon, Nick Neiman, those four from Iowa, of course, Kenny Nwangu from Iowa State, or Spencer Brown and Ellerson Smith from Northern Iowa?
Good question. Good question. Thanks to Steve Anderson at Hawkeye Title and Settlement for that. You know what? I like Ellerson Smith. I think he is built as an edge guy, and I think he's going to open some eyes. So that would be my early pick.
Yeah, and it's all about fit, too, is it not, with the certain teams? And I know Dan Stronka, even a free agent like Larrick Jackson going over to the Rams, thinks he's at a shot to make an impact there. And the free agent route is a long and winding one, but many have made it in that regard. I know Nick Neiman is highly thought of. Amir Smith-Marset, I think, could have a tremendous impact. Nwangu, I'm really interested to hear Dan's take on that. Of course, he was behind Breece Hall last year, got a few carries, but made an impact in the return game as well, as did Amir Smith-Marset. Spencer Brown from UNI, huge guy at 6'8", out there in Western Iowa. More of a developmental player, I think, but has shown very, very good skills. And I think Davion Nixon is going to come into camp with a chip on his shoulder. I'd be surprised if he doesn't. Whether he can crack a spot on the roster, we'll see. But it's always interesting to follow these guys and see if they can go ahead and make a roster and have an impact.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, speaking of Spencer Brown, draft choice of the Buffalo Bills. Did you see what he did the night that he was drafted? Did you see the video?
Was that him getting up on a table?
Breaking the table.
Yeah.
Not sure that's my go-to at this point after you were drafted. Now, if you don't know, a little point of reference, joining the Buffalo Bills, of course, the Bills Mafia, and one of the things that they are, I guess, famous for, or infamous? Infamous? Button's got that reference there for Three Amigos. Anyway, infamous in Buffalo, they tend to break tables. They just jump off of tall, whether it be RVs, ladders, cars, sometimes worse than that. And they land on tables and break them. So Spencer decided he was going to do that at his home and did that. Not sure that's the best move after you've been drafted, because what if something went horribly wrong? I do not want to make that call to your new coach saying, yeah, coach, I'm going to be out 5 months because I broke blank jumping on a table. So it
no,
all
that,
worked
that's
out.
That's not advisable, is it?
It's not advisable. Please don't do that. It's not advisable out there. But anyway, now that it's done, over with, and everything's fine, and everyone is fine, it was
speaking
funny.
Of, speaking of chips on the shoulder, I think Iowa wide receiver Brandon Smith probably will have a chip as well. He got some kind of nasty responses to his tweet in terms of ball catching at Iowa, and he responded, honestly, should have been doing – that a lot more. That's in response to one of his highlights shown out there on Twitter. And that was met with some, you know, shut up and dribble type comments by some observers. But that's a guy that has some talent. And again, a chip on his shoulder. I think probably so.
319-366-1600. If you'd like to comment on the draft, we're going to talk to Dan Shanka coming up here in just a little bit. Plenty to talk to talk about as far as the NFL draft is concerned. And other news from the weekend, the Kentucky Derby, we mentioned we had a long shot win out of the field of 19. And Bob Baffert gets another victory. Mark, not many people saw this coming, although Barry Abrams did talk about this horse and liked this horse. So chalk one up for Barry.
Yeah, Medina Spirit coming away with the victory, and Baffert with number 7, I think that is. And, you know, my partner here is an equestrian person. I turned to her and said, how does he continue to do that? And she thought it was all training. The way he trains horses, and you can't argue with his approach, that's for sure. But he had a heck of a jockey as well, and Velasquez, who has notched his 4th victory, so probably a combination of things. Our horse was a show horse, Scott.
Yeah, we were close. And I would have taken one of the 3 spots, so I would have won some cash there. But we were there. We were on the precipice of things, but didn't quite bring her home. Much like the favorite, as far as the Kentucky Derby was concerned. But it was good to see folks there, and it was just good to have that back. It was just good to have that back. As we get into the month of May here, 319-366-1600, as the Derby went off on Saturday. A couple pieces of sad news as we get the month of May underway, which is ironic, if you will, in the case of our first individual. The racing world today, and as I talked to you earlier today, Mark, this could be the first of some real tough ones in the racing world coming up, because a lot of these folks are getting to a certain age anyway. But we said goodbye to Uncle Bobby today. Bobby Unser, 3-time winner of the Indianapolis 500, actually yesterday passing away in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at his home of natural causes, has not been in the best of health. Over the last couple of years, anyway, nobody bigger that could fill a room than Bobby Unser, whether you liked him or not, and most people did. But Bobby was a great television commentator, just as good a TV commentator as he was a driver, because he would tell you what is on his mind, and he did that on the television. Broadcast was part of an Emmy-winning group as far as Paul Page, Sam Posey, and Bobby Unser was concerned. And a 3-time winner of the 500, 1968, 1975, and then the controversial one, his final race in 1981. But he passes away at the age of 87, and the racing world will not be the same without Uncle Bobby.
Well, he came from a great era of IndyCar racing, and I remember many 4th of July weekends, I would be listening to that race and maybe out on a picnic with my family and Bobby Unser, the Unser family, winning 9 Indianapolis 500s, I believe, between Al Sr. Yep. and Al Jr. and Bobby. And, I mean, you talk about a great era with A.J. Foyt and Mario Andretti. Those two had the big rivalry, I think, Scott. But you know, his era spanned guys like Rick Mears, Gordon Johncock, on and on and on and on. And there was just some great racing, great rivalries.
Yeah, and like I said, there was nobody that could talk racing better and fill a room and just get everyone's attention than Bobby Unser. did it many, 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 many times. And like I said, ironic that the month of May getting underway and everyone turns their attention to Indianapolis, and we lose Bobby Unser over the weekend. As far as a local tie is concerned, one of the greats as far as Iowa basketball, also passing away recently here, Mark, and Chuck Darling. Not very many people saw Chuck Darling play, but he was truly one of the greats as far as Iowa basketball.
Obviously, we never saw him play, but all you need to do is conduct some research on the guy. He was a consensus All-America in 1952. Once had 30 rebounds in a game. 30 rebounds. And averaged 25 points a game his senior year. Member of the 1956 United States Olympic men's basketball team, which won the gold medal in Melbourne. He averaged nearly 10 points a game on that team. A team that included a guy named Bill Russell, a guy named Casey Jones. Just a tremendous team there. And he was part of it, in addition to his Iowa teammate, Carl Kane. So while we never saw him play, we can still appreciate his great career.
Yeah, and he was a good one. No doubt about that. 319-366-1600. Also, retirement news. Tom Crochelle is going to retire, Mark. And another, like we talked about just, what, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, with one of his contemporaries. Another terrific one as far as the business is concerned.
Yeah, and Tom was a very valuable resource for those of us who covered Iowa State. And I did so in the early 80s. And then Tom joined in the mid-1980s, the Iowa State Sports Information Office. I go back to the days of the great Harry Burrell. And you remember Harry, Scott, yep. Another great resource and of all things Iowa State. And Crochelle was hired by Max Urich, then the athletic director, and Tom Starr, who was went on to many bowl positions, bowl chairman positions. And a lot of folks don't remember, he was the voice of the Drake Relays and the Iowa High School State Championships for many, many years before Mike Jay came along.
Also, who had big shoes to fill and has filled them very, very well, Mike Jay has, as we get closer and closer to the co-ed state track and field meet coming up. And, yeah, Tom will definitely be missed, no doubt about that. And it's a different type of situation, obviously, with the pandemic, and I think even going forward now, as far as college athletics are concerned. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how we come out of it as far as coverage is concerned. During the pandemic, you basically had a very, very few as far as your traveling party is concerned. Just things different as far as SID and information directors and information going out and whatnot. And it's going to be very interesting to see how that rebounds, if it goes back to the same way it was, if you will, or if we approach a different era. Going to be one of the questions out there.
Yeah, Iowa State has a couple big shoes to fill. Previously, Steve Malchow, the sports information director and one of the assistant ADs over there, has retired. He was preceded in that position by Tom Crochelle before Tom went to Cyclones.tv and completed his work there. So two in a long string of sports information directors at Iowa State. And now both have stepped aside, going to go into retirement. Probably getting another couple people for a tea time next week.
True. Very true. Can't blame them on that, by the way. You know why it rained today, Mark? You know, we needed rain very desperately. And we got it. All it took was the start of the baseball and softball seasons in the state of Iowa to get rain out there for the first day.
Yeah, obviously, you said that it's much needed, and well, we just got a little bit here. It does coincide with the start of baseball and softball practices in Iowa high school sports, and a day ahead of Cedar Rapids Colonels opener.
That's right.
I think it's going to be coolish for the opening night tomorrow, but I think playable.
Yeah, there have been a lot worse. Let's just say that. There have been a lot worse. There have been snow showers at times during Cedar Rapids baseball openers over the years. So that'll be tomorrow evening, and that's out at Veterans Memorial Stadium, and should be a good time had by all as the Peoria Chiefs are in town. By the way, we will talk Colonels coming up tomorrow. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette covers the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Will join us. We'll talk about Iowa baseball as well, and other things with Mr. Johnson. I'm sure Player of the Month Byron Buxton will come up as well, right?
Yeah, Byron is the Player of the Month, and justifiably so. He had a terrific month. Twins completing 2 out of 3 against the Kansas City Royals yesterday. That was good to see. You just hope Byron stays healthy and continues what he's doing right now, or at least close to it.
Yeah, as long as he stays healthy, I think sky is the limit as far as that young man is concerned. And speaking of not staying healthy, that's Luis Robert of the White Sox. Chicago loses another outfielder as he is going to go on the they don't call it the disabled list anymore. They call it the injured list. But he, whatever it's called, he's going on it. Might be for a while too. And please do not, Tony La Russa, who's had some problems making some decisions lately, please do not rush the young man, because you tend to usually rush hamstrings and things like that, hip problems, and you come back early, and the first time they run to first base, it happens all over again, and then it takes even longer to come back. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see if how that all plays out. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Dan Shanka of Our Loud Scouting Service coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Do want to get one more piece of news from the weekend in Mark, and congratulations to friend of the show, Iowa men's golf coach Tyler Stith, and the Hawkeyes agonizingly close to a Big Ten men's golf team championship over the weekend at Crooked Stick outside Indianapolis. Had a lead entering the back nine, and Illinois just nipped him by one at the end.
Every shot counts, right, Scott?
Every shot counts.
Illinois and Iowa were clearly ahead of the rest of the field, and it came down to those two teams playing in the last group. And, yeah, Iowa had as many as an eight shot lead going in to the back nine, but credit to Illinois. But a really good tournament. Mac McClure of the Hawkeyes, the individual champion. Alex Shockey, second, tied for second. Iowa well-positioned for an NCAA tournament berth, and that will come up on Wednesday as the field for the NCAAs will be announced.
Yep, and the Hawks, they will be in there as far as the regionals. It's just a matter of where they are going to go, and we'll see how it all plays out. Yeah, McClure, only a sophomore. And he wins the championship. That was the last Big Ten for Iowa for a young man named Shockey, though. So that'll be tough to big shoes to replace right there as far as Coach Stith is concerned. But good job by the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, and that Shockey name, the Shockey family has been really a credit to the Iowa golf program. And I know Alex will give it his all in the NCAA tournament. He's had a terrific year. I think he's ranked in the top 15 in the country right now. So Iowa can get some depth. I think it can do well in the postseason.
McClure only a sophomore, though. So so he's going to be around a couple more years as golf just keeps getting better and better around here. 319-366-1600, 329. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk to Dan Shanka of Our Lad Scouting Service. If you have a question about an individual, get Dan's thoughts about where he ended up, how your favorite team did out there, go ahead and let us know on the text line at 319 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the NFL draft when we return.
Severe weather can sneak up fast. And Linn County REC wants to help you stay safe and stay informed. May is National Electric Safety Month, so it's the perfect time to get prepared for storm-related power outages. Make sure you have a battery-operated flashlight, radio, clock, and some fresh batteries on hand. And if you haven't already, download the Smart Hub app. This cool tool makes it simple to report an outage. Get the Smart Hub app in the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Download it, select Linn County REC as your electric provider, and log in with the same username and password you use at LinnCountyREC.com. Then, if the weather takes a turn and the power goes out, you can report it right there in a tap. You can also look over the map to see if it's a widespread outage. Download the Linn County REC Smart Hub app now during National Electric Safety Month, and you'll be ready if an Iowa storm rolls in. It's just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
You're upgrading your home, planning an incredible master bath and stunning open concept kitchen. But for the backyard deck, something square? Imagination shouldn't end at the back door. Go against the grain for truly inspired outdoor living with TimberTech. Experience design versatility and technological superiority to vastly improve your home improvement. Make your outdoor living space the place to be with TimberTech from Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
In the game of business, it's all about who gets in and who doesn't. Because you have important things to protect, like equipment, your building, and people's information. Level up your security with Network Computer Solutions. They're experts at keeping your data safe, and they can also keep your physical space safe. From camera systems and door access to 24-hour video surveillance, NCS will customize a system for the way you work. Network Computer Solutions, keeping your building, your equipment, and of course, your data secure. Visit NCSEI.com.
Welcome back to Taco de Mayo Stadium. It looks like five beef soft shell tacos for $5.55 at Taco John's for Cinco de Mayo. Score the feeling of Cinco de Mayo for 5 days straight. Tacos! Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better.
Even better? Order through the Taco John's app to skip the line and get your delicious fast food even deliciously faster.
Back with you in the gym class on KGYM at 3:32. Welcome in as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. I have Hawkeye Downs tickets for you to win coming up before 4 o'clock here today. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here. Going to talk about the NFL draft and wrapping that up after its run over the weekend as that took place in Cleveland. And a lot of fun. I enjoyed watching it this year and taking it in. And some Iowa State UNI folks all taken. More signing as far as free agency is concerned. And to talk about it all and put a nice, neat bow on it, our friend Dan Shonk of Our Lad Scouting Service. Again, if you have a question for Dan, let us know at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. You get enough sleep since the draft concluded, Dan?
Barely. But, you know, it's always kind of fun to see where these guys land and all that and see the fan bases be energized again, AKA Chicago. And, you know, and so it's kind of fun that, to see, you know, especially, you know, the local flavor at Iowa State, Northern Iowa, see where those guys landed. So, no, I tell you what, it's really good, and but I'll be ready to prop them up here before long.
Hey, Dan, a lot of outlets grade the draft, and I know you're not a fan, neither am I, for a lot of reasons. Number one, just a little more than 50% of these first-round draft picks are going to get a second contract. We just don't know until we go down the road. Having said that, whose draft did you really like and whose didn't you?
Well, you know, the thing is, this year, Mark, I thought there was quite a few teams that, especially with the new general managers, they wanted to knock it out of the park, and they did. And even the old-timers like Dave Gettleman, who I used to travel on the road with Dave when he was with Buffalo and then with the Giants. He ended up going to the pro department, the Giants. But I thought the Giants did a nice job. Miami, obviously, I thought they did a really nice job. The Chargers, getting Slater the way they did and just sitting there. And, you know, he kind of fell right in their lap at 13, the really nice tackle from Northwestern. I thought that until I saw that move today a little bit, it was kind of curious to me that I thought Chicago, first couple picks, they did not. Now, Tevin Jenkins is just a real physical, tough guy. But if they're expecting him to play left tackle instead of Leno, I got news for him. Leno must have really been out of favor there because Tevin Jenkins is not a left tackle. I mean, he overextends and does it. He's a tough guy, good run blocker, you know, and all that. But boy, his footwork. But I know, I mean, believe me, the offensive line coach at Chicago, he's one of my very good friends. I've known him for 30 years, and I know he thinks he can make a guy do anything at any time, but he's going to have his work, you know, cut out if he wants Jenkins to play left tackle. But, you know, obviously Grab moving up to get Justin Fields is a great thing for Chicago.
Yeah, they kind of won day one. I don't think there was any doubt about that. And some other folks kind of creeped in there. You mentioned the Miami Dolphins. A lot of people around the country really talking about how good the Dolphins draft was. And I happen to agree with them.
Yeah, I tell you what, I thought Denver did a nice job. You know, you look at the Broncos, and there's another new general manager. George Patton came from the Vikings up there, went over, and I thought he did an excellent job. Obviously, when you're picking first in the draft like Jacksonville, they had a lot of good selections. And surprisingly enough, and I guess I shouldn't say surprisingly, but I thought they had a lot of good selections was the Tennessee Titans. They did a very nice job in there. And so Pittsburgh always gets panned every year for some reason. I don't know why they do, but I thought Pittsburgh got, you know, they grabbed some really good football players that filled some slots for them. And, the thing is when sometimes these teams get panned, the people that are doing the panning don't know what the hell they're talking about. You know, I mean, they don't study these guys. And like Green, the guard from Illinois, for instance, he's a terrific football player. I mean, really a good football player. And, you know, he went in the third round to him, but he's going to be starting for him at maybe center even, you know. So, but they had some really good, not to even count Najee Harris, the top running back in the draft. So, you know, they did a very nice job. But I think that, you know, Atlanta, here's another new general manager. I thought they did really a nice job. And there in Detroit had, you know, the best tackle in the league, arguably, or the draft fall right in their laps at seven. So, I thought there was quite a few teams that did a lot of good things. San Francisco, obviously, if Trey Lance pans out, that's going to make their draft. And as is Zach Wilson. Besides him, though, I thought really the Jets did a really nice job in their draft. And as long as Zach Wilson holds up, but I still got my question marks about him. But like I said, we'll see what happens.
We'll get to the state of Iowa guys in a minute here, Dan. But I had a question or two in the meantime, and one of them has to do with familiarity. And maybe it happens in many other drafts, but I noticed this year that, for example, Ja'Marr Chase is going to join Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, and Lawrence is going to have Travis Etienne, maybe as a third back, I don't know. And Tua is going to hook up again with Jalen Waddle. Is that a thing, or is it not a big deal?
No, I think that it just kind of happened this year like that, although I think Burrow at Cincinnati maybe more so. I think he was, you know, jumping up and down on the table over there as much as you can with a torn ACL because he didn't have any blocking. But he really wanted, you know, Ja'Marr Chase in there to throw to. And I think that, you know, Pete Brown, you know, kept pointing to, and Mike Brown kept pointing, Duke Tuba kept Tobin kept pointing to him and saying, "Well, hey, you got a blown knee because we couldn't block for you last year, and we want to bring Penei Sewell in here for you." And he still probably said, "I still want Jamar Chase." Well, you better get the ball off quick. Although I will say this, they did end up bringing a tackle in that I liked late in that first. He went in the second round, but I think the guy's really going to be a good player for him, and they end up drafting another offensive lineman. So that may work out, and then having Lawrence and ETN, they'll like to run, and I knew that was probably going to happen because James Robinson is a terrific running back, but he doesn't have breakaway speed, and so I figured they're going to bring a speed back in there, and obviously ETN can really scoot, and so I guess he's going to be in a rotation there because James Robinson, if it wasn't for Herbert, might have got Rookie of the Year last year. And then Waddle, I think that was just a really good fit. His explosiveness going to Miami and then working with Tua was kind of a bonus, but I think that's the guy they wanted if they couldn't get Jamar Chase, who got selected the pick before. So I just think that's the way it kind of worked out, Mark.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Let's get to some questions. 0112, we talked about the Bears a little bit, but just wondering – the reasoning, they wanted Mac Jones over Justin Fields. So, 0112 did.
Oh, okay. I love Mac Jones. I mean, he's the thing that you look for in any football player or somebody in any sport. You like to know what you're getting week in and week out, the consistency, the just the way they carry themselves and all that. And Mac Jones just did everything right. And, people kept saying, well, he had all these great receivers. Well, you know what? When he was at the Senior Bowl, he didn't have he had some really good receivers. But he did the same thing in practice with those receivers. I mean, he had great ball placement. He had great accuracy. He was in charge of the huddle. He makes people accountable all around him. And that's what you like about him. And, hey, he went to the right spot because I actually, after this show, I'll be on the state show in Alabama. And, I talk to them about once a week. And then I asked one guy there, it's always at all their practices and things like that. He asked me, well, if he doesn't go to San Francisco, where would you like to see him go? I said, New England. I said, it'd be the perfect spot for him because of the consistency in the New England program. So anyway, fortunately, that's where he landed for him.
Dan, I wanted to ask you about Kenny Nwangwu, who went to the Minnesota Vikings backup to Breece Hall this past year. Showed nice signs as a return guy. But fourth round?
Yeah, no, that was strong. I mean, we wrote him as a free agent and because of that speed. Now, arguably we could have put him up there and I got tons of notes on him and things, and we'll end up doing a write-up and things like that for the website and all that on him. But yeah, that was he doesn't have great running back instincts. He's just a really fast guy, and I think bringing him in there is Smith Marset. Now they got two big time kickoff return guys back there, and I think that's what they were looking for, Mark. I think they wanted him to get out there and be able to be another weapon for him as a kickoff return guy. I think they hope that he gets down there and he covers kicks and all that stuff because he does have that great speed. But yeah, I mean, there's teams that were kind of cherry picking, after the draft kind of fell apart after maybe round three. I mean, it was just like everybody started, hey, we need this for our team. We need this. We need that. We like this guy. Da, 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 da. So it's kind of hard to keep track. But yeah, I think that's what happened, Mark.
Yeah. Dan Shonker of Our Lad Scouting Service joining us here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class, wrapping up the 2021 NFL Draft. The Green Bay Packers overshadowed the first day of the draft. At least Aaron Rodgers news did. Kind of piggyback that with 0835's question here. Even though it was overshadowed by the Rodgers news, they were very happy with Green Bay's draft and even some of the undrafted signings that Green Bay put out there, including Heflin out of Iowa. I guess your thoughts about the Packers?
Well, you know, I hope that they can come to some truce, I guess, with Aaron Rodgers, because, you know, I mean, they're going to find out how much they miss Aaron Rodgers if he's not there. Believe me, we can just refer back to New England when they don't have Tom Brady and the history of things. But, you know, I thought their draft was probably average. They kind of filled in some spots that they needed to get and everything. And so, you know, I think that only time will tell if, you know, I mean, I was one of the few that I think really liked their corner that they took, Eric Stokes. I think he's an ascending guy. Now, we had him in the second round, not the first, but you know what? If I could have changed my guide late after we printed it, Stokes, we kept looking at him and looking at him and looking at him, and I could see him, you know, because he's really fast. He's really a good athlete, and we'll see what happens there. Josh Myers, I think, in the third round, you know, that was he's a tough guy from Ohio State that will fit in as a guard or a center, but I think he's more of a backup right now because Jenkins is moving over to center. And then Amari Rodgers, again, a really nice pick in the third round because I think, he's a slot guy that, you know, they have been missing, since, who's a real good guy down at Houston now, Mark? He was the best slot guy they've had, and they haven't had a slot. But anyway, I can't remember his name right now, but he's really a good player. But anyway, they got a slot in there. And then, but the rest, I thought the rest of the draft was just kind of mediocre.
Dan, three other Iowa Hawkeyes drafted in Golston, Nixon, and Neiman, maybe not as high as they wanted to be. Talk about those three and their fit with the teams that drafted them.
Yeah, I think Chauncey Golston, he just fits the prototype what Dan Quinn, the new defensive coordinator, is looking at. He's got those long arms, big hands. He's a long guy. In fact, I didn't exactly know where to put him on our depth chart, so we put him as a designated pass rusher right now. And they're going to move. It's going to be a multiple defensive front with, you know, a combination of 3-4, 4-3, whatever. Okay. And they don't even know what their depth chart looks like yet, but that's why I put him out there as a defensive end. And I think that he'll really be a good one. I thought that he did a great job the week of the Senior Bowl, really helped himself and really like him a lot as a player. Davion Nixon went to the right spot in Carolina because he's going to a defensive guy. Rule, the new head coach, or this would be a second year. He's a tough nut, played at Penn State, coached at Temple. He straightened the program out at Baylor, and he knows what he's looking for. And last year they drafted Derek Brown. They had a Bravion Roy in there as a big late-round defensive tackle. So they kind of beefed up that spot. And I think they're looking at Davion as a guy that could play across the front and also be an under tackle for him in that four-man front. And Smith Marset, obviously, like I'd mentioned before, there's kind of a lot of guys like him. Elijah Moore, the Tony guy that went to the Giants, Moore that went to the Jets. And, there was that kind of guy that a little bit smaller, but really quick, can really do stuff for you. You can put him in a slot, run him underneath, do return routes, the hide routes, all that type of stuff, and then be a returner on top of it. I think that, that's what the Vikings saw in Smith Marset.
I really like Ellerson Smith. I think he's got a big time upside. As far as his pro ability is concerned, and I thought went fairly high as far as a UNI edge guy is concerned. And what about his fit?
Yeah, and I agree with you, Scott, because he's that long guy that first of all, everybody's got it. They don't have enough pass rushers. Okay, so he's a guy that, like you said, is very long. He's got long arms. He's a good athlete. I mean, he looks skinny at 6'5" and change, almost 6'6" and 265 pounds, but he does a lot of the little things like, okay, I'm going to slap that ball. I might not get there for the sack, but I'm going to slap that ball out of the quarterback's hand. I get my, you know, hands up so I make the quarterback throw out of a well. And he's still a puppy. I mean, he's just, you know, getting better and better. Now, one thing he has to do, he's got to get a little bit more muscle on him to handle the run game, you know, closing down laterally and stuffing the off tackle gaps and things. He just got to get a little more strength and keep that bend to him so he can get underneath and leverage the tight end and the tackle and the guards that are pulling around and what have you. But I agree with you. I think, and I can't remember if I told this story on your show last week or not, but, you know, he reminded me so much of Jason Taylor when I went to see Jason at Akron several years ago. And, I mean, if you put those two guys side by side, it looked like they're twins. You know, they look like they have the same mother and father. I mean, they look almost exactly alike, and with long arms and their slender bodies and all that. But Jason's in the Hall of Fame, and Ellerson just trying to get there.
Dan, Iowa tackle Lyric Jackson falling totally out of the draft. We talked a little bit about him last week. Your reaction to that, or is it a good fit with the Rams?
Well, yeah, the Rams need him because the Rams didn't have a ton of great draft choices out there. I think that is a good fit. I was surprised. I thought somebody would definitely draft him. I mean, we had him in the fourth round, and that's where I thought that he probably fit. But, you know, when things happen like this, you don't ever really know. There might have been a medical that, you know, other teams couldn't have had. There might be, you know, 1,000 reasons. Sometimes you just don't know. But the biggest thing is he got his opportunity, and the Rams is probably as good a spot for him because they needed other players out there to build up their roster in the offensive line. And so I think that was a good spot for him.
Not to brag or anything, but I love the Chiefs draft.
Well, if you like offensive linemen, I'll bet you really love it, huh?
So does Patrick.
I mean, it was unbelievable, the Chiefs with and, you know, to take Trey Smith in the sixth round. Now, obviously, we know he had a medical with the blood clots a couple years ago, and he had to sit out a year. But, I mean, you're talking about a great young man, everything, all thumbs up. Here this guy is just a tremendous talent. I mean, at one point, he was our top guard in the draft. I mean, he's a tremendous football player, and you know, unfortunately, that happened to him. But my understanding is with medication and all different things. But you know, Nick Bolden, the linebacker from Missouri, maybe a little bit short. The thing that why we kind of came off him a little bit, Scott, is instincts. He's a super productive guy and has been, tough kid, all that. I thought the second round though was a little strong for him. But Creed Humphrey,
love
really
him.
Good player, you know, strong, and I like the tight end, Noah Gray, that they got in the fifth round. Cornell Powell, like him a whole lot. I think, you know, he'll fit in there in the slot or what have you, and how they rotate him in there. And then the canoe kid from Florida State, defensive end, long kid, kind of looks like Golston in a way. But, you know, if he stays healthy, he'll be a good selection.
Dan, last for me, and I wanted to ask you about Sean Beyer from Cedar Rapids Kennedy. And the metro area has not had many high school products drafted over the years. I think David Perry was the last one, and then Adrian Arrington before that. But your thoughts on Beyer trying to make it the free agent route?
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you brought him up, Mark, because, you know, after I run through all the Iowa guys and I talk about sleepers, because I mentioned actually his name and Brandon Smith. Brandon Smith I've mentioned on several different deals I'm on as a sleeper, as I did Sean Beyer. And I think, you know, he's a terrific athlete. And if he gets, you know, an opportunity in there to play in a rotation, and I hope they have some preseason games. So, because he's really a smart kid. He's a very athletic guy, and he catches anything close to him. So, you know, I think that guys if they have a tendency, so if they can stay healthy, they have a tendency to move up on a roster or make a roster. And hey, if you're on a practice squad for a while, we had guys this past year that, I mean, you couldn't believe it. I'm trying to think of his name now, from Ellerson, I believe it was, from North Dakota State. He played us for the East-West Shrine game, and he moved up and down every week for Jacksonville. Okay, I mean, he was they'd take him off on Monday, and then come Friday, they'd stick him back up on the bar. And so maybe Sean's going to kind of be that kind of guy. And because he's smart, he'll learn things quickly. And the way things, these coaches, you just don't have enough time during the week to spend. And a smart guy like Sean, I'm glad you brought him up, because I'm pulling for him, really like him. I've kind of pumped him up around the country as a sleeper, and I hope he does well, and hope he makes the roster.
I hope so too. And hey, Dan, appreciate all the information over the last several weeks, and good to wrap things up with you. And take care, and we'll talk again soon. And I know you've got all the wrap ups at Our Lads, of course.
You betcha. We'll be doing the draft review here in about a month or so, after we find out how these teams are going to use all these guys. So anyway, great as always being with you and Mark, and it's always fun, okay?
All right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. 319-366-1600. Dan Shanka of Our Lads Scouting Service joining us here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. 3:55, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. So go to break, going to give you an opportunity to pick up tickets for a race at Hawkeye Downs coming up this year. Opening night this Friday night, May the 7th. 6 o'clock gates open, qualifying at 7 o'clock, and racing gets underway at 7:30. And we've got tickets for the season, for one race this season, for caller number 6 out there at 319-366-1600. Give us a call, 319-366-1600. We'll give you those tickets coming up. We'll take a break, let you know who our winner is, and wrap her up after this.
The Colonels are back after 603 days without a game, and it's time to party at the park. Opening night for your Cedar Rapids Colonels is Tuesday, May 4th. Get ready for exciting Colonels baseball, fresh popcorn, tasty hot dogs, ice cold beverages, and fireworks after every Saturday game. Great seats are still available for games this season, so visit Colonels.com for the best party in town, and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
This is Colonels manager Brian Dinkelman. We'll see you at the ballpark for exciting entertainment for the whole family this summer.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
When we first moved to town, I inquired about banks in the area that were very customer-friendly and family-focused, and I was referred to Midwest One Bank.
We're talking with Dr. Azeem Ahmed about Midwest One Bank.
I love the fact that Midwest One Bank hangs on to our mortgage. It allows us to feel that we're banking locally.
Midwest One Bank has a variety of home loan programs for local mortgage service.
Midwest One Bank really simplified it for us. Midwest One Bank is definitely part of the community. They truly are invested in the community.
Midwest One Bank is simply better banking. Member FDIC, equal housing lender, loan subject to credit approval.
And congratulations to Gary from Center Junction calling in. He is the winner of tickets to see a race at Hawkeye Downs coming up this year, opening night this Friday evening. And looking forward to that. Our thanks to Dan Shanka of Our Lads Scouting Service for joining us here on the program today. Did you see this, Mark, before we go today in our last minute? Did you see there is a new fast food franchise in Orlando, Florida that has a 4-hour line outside to get some of their product?
I did see that. It reminds me of the line when a certain chicken franchise came to Cedar Rapids for the first few weeks. Yeah.
Would you wait 4 hours in a line for this product?
Of course not.
Or any product.
Very few.
Yeah, I would agree. Biggest maybe thing from the weekend, North Dakota State knocked out of the FCS playoffs, even though it is a spring league, but the Bison are out. South Dakota State still in from the Missouri Valley Football Conference. Jeff Johnson, we'll talk Colonels coming up tomorrow. Mark, have a great night.
You as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Todd and Alex coming your way next. And don't forget the Twins tonight at 6 o'clock.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pull from